Romans chapter 12. Last time we were together and speaking from Romans, we looked at verses 1 and 2. Tonight I want to continue on and look at verses 3 through 8. Let's read our text. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I really love those first two verses we looked at last time. I think the best thing to remind us about that is just read them. And think about that a minute. This is what we looked at last time. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think if we give up our bodies to the Lord in service, that we'll find out as we examine these verses tonight that there are various things that the Lord has equipped us to do in the church, which he calls one body in Christ. This church, like every one of the Lord's churches, is one body in Christ with many members. Let's notice that Paul says in verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The word for shows us that Paul is about to introduce some points which will enforce what he just said. Through the grace given him, the favor that God bestowed upon this man who was like us, a sinner saved by grace, he now calls upon the saints. And it goes on to say to every man. Now, The word man comes from the Greek word pos, and it simply means all men, everyone, every person. So he's talking to all those in the church. Every single one. No one's left out. No exception. He's talking to them as members of the congregation. They have given themselves to the Lord. And then they have purposely given themselves to one another. To be obedient to one another. To serve one another. To love one another as a part of the Lord's church. It's clear to me as we approach this that there's not one person who has joined one of the Lord's churches who does not have some kind of gift from the Lord, which is to be used in the church. It's no better place. Not in an association. Not in a convention. Not in a seminary. But in a church. A congregation of baptized believers who agreed to gather to carry out the Lord's command. Now, what is the first thing he says to us? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Nor, as we think about others, not to detract anything from them, not think that we're superior in any way, according to abilities or anything else. God forbid that we should glory in what we've been given individually as if we hadn't received it because we have nothing that we have not received. And if we've received it, why would we glory in it? I learned a long time ago that there's some things I can't even discuss. There's some things I can't study. It's too high for me. I can't get there. So when I run into something like that, I'm going to study something else. Because it's way beyond my capability. This is not said. Listen, this is not said to discourage us. Quite the contrary. But it's rather to lead us to do that for which the Lord has apprehended us. He went on to say, don't think too high, but think soberly. In such a way that it causes us to act wisely. So before we act, we need to think. It's a good thing if we could always think before we open our mouth. What about a person that thinks too much of himself? He shows himself as proud, haughty, foolish. People who don't are generally modest and sober and causes them to conduct their lives in that manner. Notice that Paul went on to say, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I was talking to a preacher a couple of days ago, and he was talking about mustard seed faith. And I said, brother, I don't even have that much. I've got a great God, but I don't have much faith. The Lord said if I had as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, I could say to this mountain, be gone, and it would go. I know I don't have that kind of faith. So God has given every one of us faith by measure as a gift. We're not all the same. We shouldn't expect everyone to be the same in this respect. None of us have all faith and all knowledge, but faith has been dealt out to us. Then he went on to say in the fourth verse, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." He's going to illustrate this with the human body. This is much like what's said in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where the extraordinary gifts that were in the church in the days of the apostles was going on. But that's past. I'm persuaded that what we're reading about today are things that go on continually and will until the end of this age in the church. So we have many members in our body, arms and legs and eyes and ears. And all members don't have the same office. We all know that. The ear can't see and the eye can't hear, and the liver purifies the blood, but the stomach doesn't. On and on and on. You can think about that. So we see the meaning. Every member doesn't have the same work. But in this case, I think these things are spread out, and some members may have several of these qualities. So taking the body as an example, he said, "So we," in verse 5, "being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Somebody said to me that we affect one another. Well, brothers and sisters, we affect one another most in the church. And what we do affects everyone else. And what we don't do affects everyone else. I was thinking about going to the little gal that does nails and toenails. I've got some bad toenails. If you can imagine with me a minute, they grow out, but they curl on the corners and turn in, and I have ingrown toenails. Y'all have that? And when that toenail gets ingrown, I hurt all over. It affects everything else. Can't walk right. Can't think right or anything. So tomorrow, Lord willing, I'm going to see Kelly and see if she can fix this ingrown toenail. So we affect one another. But all of us together make one body in Christ. I like the expression "in Christ" because it distinguishes the church from every other kind of body or organization. It's His. He said, "I will build my church." So we're all members of one another. We affect one another. Now look at verse 6. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy," let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. There are seven different things here. The first one is prophecy. We've already seen that not every person necessarily has the same gift. Some people may have several. But if a person has the gift of prophecy, let's talk about that a minute. Strictly speaking, prophecy is the foretelling of events. But in the New Testament and the Old, it's shown to be the foretelling of the Word of God, that is, preaching. This is not an extraordinary office. The Lord has set this in the church for our good. So prophesying in our day is not foretelling things to come except as those things are revealed in the Scripture. So when a man attempts to prophesy, that is, expound the Word of God, he must do what's called dividing the truth, dividing the Word of God. And he can only do it by the faith which is given him. Some people can see more than others. So every pastor is exhorted to study, be diligent to show themselves approved unto God. Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'll say this, if a man by diligence and study and by the help of God can rightly divide the word of truth, then a man can wrongly divide it by sloth and without God's help and without study. So we usually see that those who are given the gift of prophecy are our preachers. Verse 7 speaks about ministry. Let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. Ministry means any kind of serving, any kind. I was always amused at a preacher friend of mine that was looking at our ladies in the congregation, and he said, we have here several Marys, and we have several Marthas. He said, the Marys like to listen to the Word of God, and the Marthas like to be busy doing something. And he got that from Lazarus' sisters when Jesus was at their house and going to have dinner. It says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving, that's the word, serving, ministry, diakonia. Came to him and said, Lord, don't you care? My sister left me to serve alone. Bid her, therefore, she should help me. She was a busy, busy lady, but he scolded her, didn't he? He said, Martha, Martha. I preached a sermon using that text one time. Martha, Martha, one of the ladies in the church where I was pastoring, we spoke in Germany, said to me, she said, I'm going to stay home and fix dinner for you next Sunday so you can come for dinner. I said, Martha, Martha, don't do that. You come to church and we'll figure dinner out another way. Don't do that for me. Don't you do it for me. So there are people that minister. It's applied to all classes. It particularly, I think, speaks about deacons. And I believe that we can see from the scriptures that deacons serve physical needs in the church. Historically, they have been people that looked after the poor, after the elderly, after the sick. But they are servants, and that's what the word means, servant, ministry. So if you have a gift to minister to others, wait on your ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Teaching speaks about those who instruct or communicate knowledge. Like any gift, it takes prayer and preparation and work. And teachers ought to focus on teaching. We had a man in the church who now with the Lord, a prince of a man. His name was Mike Burnham. Mike Burnham believed that the Lord had given him the gift of teaching. And I believe he did too. He was very, very good at it. In fact, Brother Clark gave me a disc and had all of his lessons on it. And I have it on my computer. And every once in a while, I'll look at what Brother Mike has to say about something. He was a real blessing. And anyone who has the ability to instruct or communicate knowledge to others, it doesn't have to be formal. It can be any way. If a person can convey that, he has the gift. He has that ability. If you have it, exercise it. Praise the Lord. Use it. Or he that exhorteth in verse 8 on exhortation. Got all these lumped together here. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, what is exhortation? Brother Gill thought it was another branch of preaching. And there is a sense in which a preacher preached a message from the Word of God and then tells the people to suffer the word of exhortation. But all of us need exhorting, no matter if we're young or old, or rich or poor, no matter what. Exhortation means this: to incite by words or advice, to animate or urge by argument, to do a good deed or any laudable conduct or course of action. It corrects things. It urges people into action. I don't think this would be the right thing, but the Methodists years ago had exhorters in their congregation. And I guess they thought it was a different office. When Paul wasn't on the boat, you remember, and they were in that great storm, they were headed out to Rome, and they thought they were all going to die. He said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Wanted them to think better. Paul said, young men also exhort to be sober-minded. Exhort servants to be obedient to their master. So you see the point. To tell people what's needed in a way so that they receive it and do better. The next one is, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now, I want you to look at these verses. that use the same Greek word as translated giveth here and let you see what it says. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 11. Luke chapter 3, verse 11. He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart, that's the word, let him impart to him that hath none. Romans 1:11. Paul says, for I long to see you, that I may impart, there's the word, translated give. I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. There are six different verses there. They all give the same idea. So as we can see, giving has the idea of imparting something to another. We could say this is the work of a deacon who takes what's needed to impart to someone else in the church. But I think all the saints do that. I've always thought that the Lord has put some people in a church with this special gift that they're givers. They not only give to take care of the expenses of the church, but they give to their brothers and sisters that's in the congregation when they have need. In the church where I grew up, we had a man who was a deacon. God had blessed him. He wasn't what we call a rich man by today's standards, but he was better off than most of the other farmers that lived in that part of the world. If there was a person or a family in that church that had a need, you'd see this man go to them, and he'd either give them what they needed or give the husband a job so that he could earn for his family. My dad told me one time, he said, people don't like this guy because that's the way he is. He gives what he has. And if there's something to be done in the church, without any pay or retribution, he's the first guy there. Said if someone dies in the church, he's the first man there to dig the grave, to bury the person. He was a giver. He gave his time, he gave his resources. I know there are men and women in the church that are like that. By the way, it doesn't have to be an extraordinary amount. A person that makes himself available to help someone else and to give of what he has is a giver. Now he says, he that ruleth with diligence. There's a sense, surely, that pastors most certainly rule, as well as deacons in their realm, take care of the physical needs of the church. There are people that have no office of any kind, but people in the church look up to them because they exercise some sort of rule over them. But if a person has that ability, he ought to do it with diligence. I think we see this in 1 Corinthians 12:28. Turn and read that. I'll show you what I mean. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing. Notice the words, helps, governments. These are the people that rule in the church, have some sort of ruling function. And then we have those who show mercy. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Brothers and sisters, we have some folks that most certainly need mercy bestowed upon them. I've heard your words, I've seen you praying, and I believe you are people of mercy. Those that are sick and in distress, we ought to help them, but not in a morose and frowning manner, but with a pleasant look and a cheerful countenance as much as that's possible. Don't be impatient. I saw our president, a picture of him at a service where those men had died, and he kept looking at his watch. You try to help people and encourage people, give them your attention. I think our Lord is the best example about that. He was always surrounded by the infirm and the afflicted. But every time you read about him dealing with them, he was kind and gentle and mild. And that's what we always ought to be dealing with people, to show them mercy. I'm going to close with this. We was at a school convention one time in down in Louisville, Texas. And the speaker had used part of this section we looked at tonight. And at the end, he was talking about showing mercy to other people. He said, I wonder what would happen today if we all insisted on a showing of mercy movement instead of a tongues movement. Never will forget that. He said, these things, and I believe he was right, these things continue in the church right on up until the time when Christ comes back again. And all of you have one or more of these things given you. You're equipped for that. Do it to the best of your ability. God bless you.